Hey, y'all, thank you so much for tuning in to this message. We hope that it speaks to your life. And if you have questions, please contact us. You can contact us on the website, 1000hillsranchchurch.com or 1000hillsranchchurch@yahoo.com. And then you can also call us at 580-216-6427. And may God use this message to change your life. God's doing some amazing things, and I want to share a little bit about that today. How many of you guys have ever seen the movie Lonesome Dove? Anybody seen the movie Lonesome Dove? Great movie. All right. How many of you guys have a favorite character in the movie? Anybody got a favorite character? What about Captain Call? Anybody? Woodrow F. Call? Any of that? Yeah, he's a cool guy. What about Gus? Gus? Any Gus fans? What about P? Anybody remember P? I mean, the quiet guy, the steady, good friend. P's the great guy. Then Newt. How many Newt fans? Ricky Schroeder? Back in the day, he was a great character. Then you got Jake Spoon. Remember old Jake? How many guys, that's your favorite character? You guys are a bunch of heathens if you think he's your favorite character. Because he was a dirty, rotten scoundrel. But Jake was another one. Dish was another one. Lori, how many of you guys, Lori? The prostitute, remember her? The favorite character. Good, we have one. Favorite character. Well, there's some great characters in that movie, but I want to touch on one that I really liked, and it's one that I haven't mentioned yet. Anybody recognize this cat right here, this guy? What's his name? Dietz. Well, what's his real name's Danny Glover, right? What's his name in the movie? Dietz. What was his first name? Anybody remember? Huh? Yeah, Joshua, yeah. Good job. I didn't think anybody get that. But Joshua Dietz is the character that Danny Glover plays in the movie Lonesome Dove. If you've never seen the movie, here's how the movie goes. The movie is they start out and they steal a bunch of cattle. They steal a bunch of horses. They're a bunch of horse thieves, cattle thieves. They bring them across the Mexican line. Jake Spoon shows up. He's an old ranger friend of theirs. He says, hey, you guys need to go to Montana. Well, they're in, what, Texas or somewhere? Yeah, Texas. And so they get this idea that they're going to go to Montana, and so they start this cattle drive, and everybody and their dog dies on the way. You know what I'm saying? And so it's kind of a depressing movie, but it's so cool. And along the way, they're on their way to Montana, which is, according to Jake, is the most beautiful land that there is. It's lush. No one's settled any cattle there, so they're going to be the first ones to settle a cattle ranch there. And so that's kind of the gist of the movie. And then along the way, they face all kinds of trials and all kinds of other stuff. Well, here's the thing that I love about Dietz. You know what Dietz's role was in the movie? Remember his role? It was as a scout, right? You know what a scout is? A scout is a guy that goes ahead of the herd, and when he gets ahead of the herd, he sees what's ahead, and then he comes back and reports to the wagon boss or the cow boss, right? Well, that's exactly what Dietz did. Dietz would ride ahead of the herd so that he could see all kinds of stuff. And I love it. If you watch the movie ever again, just concentrate on Dietz because he's an amazing character. I mean, he knew that there was a storm coming before everybody else did. He knew that there were thieves on the run, that they had burnt, you know, some individuals, some sod, whatever, I can't remember, but he knew that this enemy had killed these individuals. He could track thieves down. I mean, he knew that there was no water. Remember that part where they're all going on the trail and they're all dying and you see their faces and they're kind of, you know, needing water. But Dietz, he's ridden 80 miles ahead and he comes back and he says, hey, Captain, there's no water but for 80 miles. And they keep drudging along. And through that, Dietz saves them. He knew that there was a place to cross the river. I mean, he knew everything before it ever happened. And he did whatever it took to see what was ahead. Even if it meant riding hard and fast. Even if it meant facing the enemy. Even if it meant that the hard trail was going to be hard and harsh. It didn't matter. He rode ahead anyways. Why? That's the question that I have. Why would he do that? Well, here's why he would do that. Because he wanted that drive to succeed. He wanted his cowboy buddies. He wanted Captain Call. He wanted, you know, Gus. He wanted them to all make it to Montana. So he was willing to drive ahead and ride ahead on his white horse and he was willing to see what was ahead so that the drive could be successful. Well, here's the truth, and I'm going to talk about kind of myself a little bit today. Here's the truth, and here's what God showed me out of that. The pastor, me, I'm to be like Dietz. I'm not black, I'm not tall, but I'm to be like Dietz, right? I mean, if you think about it, I'm the one who is called. God has called me, whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, God has called me to ride ahead of the herd, to see what's ahead, so that I can come back and help lead our church for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. And so, again, that's what I love about Dietz. And so, here's the thing. Today, I want to share with you what God has shown me as your pastor about the future of our church. Can I just say this? What God has shown me and has shown many of you is nothing more than amazing. I don't know if you believe that or not, but I believe that what God has already done in our church and through our church is nothing short of amazing. I get goosebumps just thinking about it because I cannot come up with what God's done already, and I can't come up with what God wants to do in the future. So here's the thing. For the next few weeks, I'm going to be unpacking where I believe that God is leading our church. And many of you, you've been here since day one. You've been here since the first time we turned the lights on over at the, you know, at the Fair Barns over there. And I thank you for that. Some of you, you don't know the future or the plans of our church. And so I'm going to explain that today and in the next few weeks. I want to give you some of our history. You say, why do we call ourselves Thousand Hills Ranch Church? Well, if you didn't know it, there's a scripture, Psalm 50, verse 10, and it'll be on the screen. Psalm 50, verse 10, it says, and God is talking, and he says this, for all the animals of the forest are mine, and I own the cattle on a thousand hills. I own the cattle on a thousand hills. And you say, why did you name your church that? Here's why. Because I believe my God is big. I believe that my God doesn't just own the cattle on a thousand hills. He actually owns a thousand hills too. I believe my God is the creator of this world, and he don't need me to explain who he is. He just uses me in spite of my failures. I believe that our God is a God that provides for us, and he has provided in many ways for our church. You know, one of the first things that God has provided, he provided a purpose for our church. And this is the guiding light for our church. And I want you to look at it. It'll be on the screen. you guys may know the purpose already, but look at it with me. It says this. Why don't you say it with me, okay? Say it out loud. Thousand Hills Ranch Church exists to reach the unchurched Western culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ by tearing down religious barriers and building authentic relationships. I love that purpose. You know why? Because it keeps me on track. When people come and they say, hey, but why don't we build softball fields? Why don't we build soccer fields? Why don't we build a big old church with a steeple and a cross? That'll be great. I'm going, no, that's not our purpose. You know, that purpose, you know what it says? It says we're called to reach unchurched people by tearing down the religious barriers that keep them out of church and building authentic relationships with them. That's what we're called to do. Listen, if you're here today and you want another purpose for our church, it's time for you to walk right out those doors and go somewhere else. Because we are not going to change the purpose that God has called us to, because we don't want to be like other churches. And other churches are reaching awesome people. They're reaching people that only they can reach. But God has called us to a special purpose of reaching unchurched Western culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to do. Whether you like it, whether I like it, we're going to do it because that's what God has called us to do. Amen? Now, here's the thing, and you say, Bo, that's a great purpose and all that. Listen, God created that purpose. I remember 3 years ago sitting in, it was in our guest room, and I remember sitting down, it was like 3 a.m, and God had woken me up, and he said, Bo, I want you to write this down. And he gave me that purpose 3 years ago. And since then, I believe that God has confirmed that purpose over and over again, and I want to show you how. He's, first of all, provided the people. Since the day one that we opened our doors, the first Sunday that we opened our doors, we had 100 people show up. That's only God, right? I mean, that was the first time we ever opened our doors. God has provided a place, to gather. He's provided key leaders, people that have stepped up to the plate and said, I'll lead. I'll help lead a team. I'll volunteer. He's provided us with elders. He's provided us with team leaders. He's provided us with members of our church. And most importantly, he's provided the unchurched Western culture that doesn't feel, that feels out of place in a traditional church. He's opened the doors so that they can feel a part of this church. I don't know how many times I've heard stories of women and even men say, you know what? I hated church before I came to your church. You know what? My husband hated church because he felt like it was just a big perfume. And I'm not saying anything in perfume. Wear your perfume. Perfume and potpourri. And again, I say we've got poopery around here. You know what I'm saying? The smell of money is all around you right here. And so again, God has provided us with people. He's provided us with people that don't feel, again, don't feel comfortable in a traditional setting, and he's brought them to us. Here's the cool thing about it. We've seen, and this is just the people that have come forward, but we've seen over 30 people be saved and baptized in our church. Can I get a, that's, again, if we were to close the doors tomorrow, I believe that we would have made a difference for the kingdom of God just because of that. And so, again, you say, how has God given us the purpose? How has he confirmed it? Those are the ways he's confirmed it. He's provided a meeting place. From day one, we met at the Fair Barns. He provided that. The cell barn, which you're meeting in right now, we meet at this cell barn for free. We don't pay a dime. We've been here for 2 years. Jerry Nine is one of the most generous men that I know, and he allows us to meet here every Sunday, and he pays the bills. How cool is that? I mean, really. We have a saddle house, which again, it's an old bank building. Wes Sander, who's sitting up here, a generous man, who has provided the saddle house for us for free. Can I get some? Yeah. And again, over and over again, the cafe, which Kim, who goes to our church, she owns the cafe downstairs. She provides the cafe for our children to meet every Sunday. She provides it so that she can serve us meals for our leadership team meetings. She provides it so that we can have meetings in there. And so she does it all for free. Can we give Kim a hand? That's awesome. And so God has provided in places to meet. He's provided with resources. I mean, money, all kinds of stuff. He's provided with sound equipment, all kinds of stuff. I mean, fellowships like the American Fellowship of Cowboy Churches, they've provided for us. Individuals in our church and outside of our church have provided. Businesses have given their time and their resources so that we could have a church. Other churches like the Chisholm Trail Cowboy Church or the Freedom Biker Church or Bar None Cowboy Church in Tyler, they've given of their time and their resources so that we could have a great church. You know, I'll say this. Yeah. In our first year alone, we brought in over $200,000. That was the first year. Our second year, we brought in over $250,000. Yeah. This year, up to this point, from January to now, we brought in over $310,000. And you say, someone rich is giving it. No, it's because you guys give $10 or $25 or whatever you give that we've been able to raise that kind of money. Again, God has provided. You know, I'll speak personally about my own family. When we started this church, Heather and I lived in another church's house. And so when we resigned from that church, we did not know where we were going to live. One of the greatest, if not, I believe it was the greatest step of faith that my family's ever taken. We didn't know where we were going to live. We didn't know where our next paycheck was going to come from. But we took a step of faith because we knew that God wanted us to start this church. And can I just tell you, God's provided. My wife and I have a beautiful home that came up right when we made that transition. God opened the doors so that we could have that home. God has provided a paycheck every week, and I've not gone without any kind of food, and my kids are fed every day. And guess what? I get to eat a steak every now and then too. God has provided. He's provided for my family. He's provided for this family. He's provided in every way. Here's another way that I know that God is working and he's doing this thing. Because he's confirmed it through his word. I mean, the Bible, every time that I read the Bible, every time that I searched for answers, God has provided answers for this church through His Word. You could say, Bo, you've kind of come up with this on your own. No, I haven't. The Word of God has revealed what we're supposed to do through His Word. He's provided it, you know, through others, people that have confirmed it. He's provided it through godly people. He's even provided it through opposition. One of the greatest ways that you know you're doing something for the Lord is when opposition rises, right? I mean, we've had people call us a cult. I said, no, we're starting cults. We're not cults. We're starting cults. No. And then they go, you're starting cults? So you're starting, and then I'm like, no, we're starting horses. Cults, not, I don't know how to say it, but anyways, you get the idea. Well, again, we've been called a cult, we've been called a fad, we've been called a fake church, we've been called unnecessary, we've been called unbiblical, and I just go right back to Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. It says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The things that we get persecuted for, I want to know that they're doing, they're persecuting us because of our righteousness, not just because of our stupidity, right? When we don't stand on street corners preaching from the street corner, yelling at people and screaming at people, again, maybe some people are led to do that. We're not led to do that. Don't want to be persecuted for the stupid things. I want to be persecuted for doing what's right. And that's what we've been doing. And that's what God has showed us. So needless to say, there is no doubt in my mind that God's hand is on this great church. Now, here's the thing. As a pastor, here's what I love. I love being a pastor, and I love it. But here's the thing. I don't have all the answers, so I have to go, and I have to pursue God's will, but I also have to ask other people. And here's one of the things that I've done. I've gone to those that have been successful at growing a church or been successful at reaching unchurched people, and I've asked them, how is the best way to reach the unchurched Western culture? And I've looked at their ministries, and I've said, how did you do that? How did that happen? And here's the thing. I've asked them over and over again. I've asked people, you know, in fellowships. I've asked people in churches. I've asked people in leadership. And through my own personal pursuit of God's will, God has shown me that we should build one thing first, and that's this. We are to build a covered arena. Now, again, every time I mention that, some people are like, dang, don't you see? Can't you see that there needs to be more room for all these people to come? Can't you see that we need to build a big worship barn for all the church people to sit in and air condition it and heat it and do all that? And they want to just build this building so that we can gather up a bunch of people. Listen, I'm not, again, if this isn't your passion, I'm sorry. But here's the thing. Our passion is to reach unchurched people. And if we build a big barn and we get all comfortable and we come and have a great time, it doesn't open the door to reach unchurched people. But if we will build an arena that can be what I call the front door to our church, then I can get cowboys and cowgirls to come into that arena. You know how I know it works? Because I've asked and because we've done it. We've done it. I mean, God has confirmed it over and over again. Again, the arena is a safe place for people that don't know Christ, people that don't like church, people that hate the preacher. They can come in. They don't even know I'm a preacher. I get to play incognito half the time. They're like, you know, if the preacher was here, he'd plow up the ground and make this dirt better. And they're going, there's the preacher. And they point at me. And I'm like, that's me. Again, we get to meet them on level ground. We get to meet them right where they're at, and they come in. They do it. I mean, we've seen it over and over again. You say, why do we build a covered arena? Because here's the thing. I have seen more unchurched people come to compete, come to attend, come to a church as a result of our arena events more than any other ministry that we have. From our cult starting competition, we have created influence in our community. From being good at what we do and impressing people that don't love Jesus by being excellent at what we do, we have created a relationship with unchurched people. through the colt starting, through the cow dog trial, through the ranch sorting, through the ranch rodeos, and coming in October, our next ranch rodeo, and then Aaron Watson concert that I believe that God has shown me. And again, I've spoken with Aaron. I know his heart. I know he loves the Lord. And I believe that God is going to use that concert to reach more people than we've ever reached. Maybe. I don't know, and again, you may not like Texas country music, red dirt, whatever you want to call it, but people do, and they're going to come, and I hope that you'll come as well. That being said, here's the thing. From day one, God has called us and planted in our hearts to build a covered arena. He's done it, and for the past 3 years, we have been committed to seeing that vision fulfilled. Let me give you a little secret. We have raised over $250,000 just for the covered arena. Yeah, we bought 30 acres, listen, we bought 30 acres for $100,000 and we paid it with cash. Yeah, going forward, here's the thing, and again, a lot of people don't know the dynamic of our new church land. They think that it's going to be like, hey, let's get a dozer out there and let's push one tree over and we're good. I wished it was that way. But here's the truth. The dirt work that's going to cost, it's going to cost us over $160,000 just for the dirt work. And guess what? We're going to pay it with cash. We're going to pay it with cash. Once the dirt work's done, then we are going to build what we are going to call the saddle house. It's going to be a kind of an 80 by 100 barn, and it's going to have big overhead doors probably in it. It's going to be able to open it up. You're going to be able to do weddings in there. You're going to be able to do small groups. It's going to have a kitchen, bathrooms, all kinds of stuff. And it's going to be in between the new covered arena and the worship barn that we're going to build later on. We're going to build that building first so that we can have small group meetings, all kinds of stuff, that we can host weddings, we can host meetings, we can host events, you know, dinners, all kinds of stuff in that building, and then we will start on the covered arena. Later on, again, we're going to build worship barns, we're going to build children's areas, we're going to build all kinds of stuff. But again, God is doing it all. At the end of this project, this will be one of the biggest projects that Woodward, Oklahoma has ever seen. And here's the other part of it, and this is what's so amazing to me. It will probably be the biggest project that I will take part of in my lifetime. And at the end of this project, and again, this is just an estimate, I don't have the numbers, this is going to cost our church over $2 million. And you say, Bo, look around. I mean, there's only, what, 300? 275, 300 people in here. How the heck do you expect to raise $2 million? Is it? I mean, that's too much. That's not. We can't do that. Here's the thing. I love it that it's too big for me. I love that. I can raise $200,000. I could go to some oily and say, "Hey, can you give me $200,000?" And they'd probably give me $200,000. If you're an oily in here, I need $200,000. But here's the thing, I can't raise $2 million on my own. Only God can. And our God's not broke. And you say, Bo, you talk about money a lot. No, I don't. If you've ever been here before, we don't even pass an offering plate. Somebody accused us of being a church that all we do is ask for money the other day. And my buddy over here, I won't point him out, but he's over here, his name's Nort. Anyways, this guy came out to Norton and was like, Norton, you know, I don't like that church. And why do you got that bumper sticker on, you know, or that license plate on the front of your truck? And Norton was like, because it won't fit on the back. And then he goes, oh, that church is a bunch of, you know, asked for a bunch of money. And Norton was like, they don't even pass an offering plate. How can you say that they asked for money? Again, I don't need your money. You know, the preachers get a bad rap because all they talk about is money. I don't need your money. You know why I'm going to be successful? Because I give my money to the church, not because you give it. God is going to take care of me because I give a portion back of what he's already given me. So you don't have to give your money to take care of me. I'm going to be taken care of no matter what, because God is good. And so you say, well, you know, Bo, we can't do that. What, you know, that's impossible. Listen, Matthew 19:26, Jesus declared, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Amen? What is impossible with man, what is impossible with me, is possible with God. And so here's the truth. God called Heather and I to start this church and see it reach the lost for the glory of God. We are called to ride ahead of this herd and to seek God to lead this church to glorify Him and reach the lost. And I, for one, am going to see this vision accomplished. I'm going to do it, and we're going to do it, and God's going to do it. Yes. Here's the thing, and I want to close with this. And I want to give you one word that God has given me. And I believe it's a word that, again, it's not just for me. I think it's for our whole church. And here's the word. Here's the word that He's given me. Ready? Obey. Obey. Here's the thing. God has said, Bo, do what I tell you to do, and you cannot go wrong. Trust in me, and you will not fail. You may have hard times. You may lose somebody. You may lose this. You may lose that. But you follow me. You lead this church where I tell you to go, and you can't go wrong. Listen, church, all we have to do is be obedient to God, and God will do the rest. That's the truth. I can't do it. You can't do it. But He can do it, and He's going to do it. And I want to give you a biblical example of this, and then we're going to close for today. Luke chapter 5. Look at it on the screen. Jesus is you know, he's calling out His disciples. And listen to what He says. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and I've actually been to the Sea of Galilee. It's more like a lake. We got bigger lakes than they have seas. And it's beautiful. And so Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Great crowds pressed in on Him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. In verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I will let down the nets again." And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Our Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish that had been caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. But listen to this. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Do you see what just happened here? I mean, Jesus gets into the boat, doesn't know Simon from Adam. He gets into the boat, and he's teaching the people. And then he says, "Hey, Simon, listen, I want you to push out. I want you to get into some deeper water. And I want you to cast your nets out." And what does Peter do? He goes, "No, Lord, you know what? I mean, we've worked hard. I mean, we worked hard all night, and we didn't catch a darn thing. But if you tell me to, I'll cast it again." And what happens? They cast their nets. Simon casts their nets, and guess what? He can't even drag them into the boat. The boat, the nets are tearing because there's so many fish, and his boat's about to sink, and he calls to his buddies, "Hey, get over here. Bring the other boat." And they fill both boats with fish. Now, here's the thing. Here's what I want you to get out of that. Our church will not be an aquarium. Some people, listen, some people want to have an aquarium where we just sit around and go, "Goody, goody, gumdrop. We're going to get to be a church. We're going to get to just hang out with other Christian people. We're going to be in our Christian clique, and we're going to just enjoy our time until Jesus returns." We're not an aquarium. Here's the truth. We are called to fish for people. Our net is a covered arena. Our people that we're trying to reach, the fish that we're trying to reach, are the unchurched Western culture that God has called us to reach. And listen, I know that you're scared. I know that you think, well, this preacher's crazy. I know that you think, you know, how are we going to do this? I know that God can do it. He wants to fill our boats. He wants to fill our house. He wants to fill our barns with people so that we can take somebody with us when we go. And so that's what we're going to be about. And so again, I hope that you will come on this drive with me and with the rest of these leaders so that we can reach the place where God has called us to reach. Amen? I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. And you say, why do you ask us to bow our heads and close our eyes? Listen, it's not anything spiritual. It's just so that I can concentrate and you can concentrate. We're not going to point fingers. We're not going to look at you. We're not going to point you out. We're not going to do anything. But I want you to concentrate on this. While I'm called to be the scout, you're also called to make the drive. You're also called to be the carriers of the vision. And so listen, maybe when you walk out of here, you're thinking, well, what purpose does God have for me in this church? Listen, God has called you to come alongside of us, to serve this church and carry the vision into the world so that we can reach those unchurched people. And so you say, well, you know, how do I do that? Well, here's the questions that I want you to ask. Are you on the drive? Are you on the drive? Have you saddled up and said, you know what, God, I'm going to ride for you. I'm going to ride for this church. I'm going to see your kingdom increase so that we can take people with us. And so are you on the drive? You know, are you giving God all you've got? Are you giving him seconds? Are you working to make a difference in eternity, not just in the temporary pleasures of this world? Listen, that's the question that you need to answer for yourself. Again, I can, you know, build a nice home, I can have nice horses, I can build nice barns, but guess what? One of these days, I'm not going to have any of that stuff anymore. It's going to turn to dust. It's going to fall apart. It's going to rust. But the things that I've done for the Lord, the things that I've done to make a difference in eternity, they're going to last for eternity. And so my question is, are you making a difference for eternity? Some of you are here today and maybe you don't know Christ personally. You say, I'm not even going to be in eternity with heaven or in heaven because I don't know this Jesus guy that you're talking about. Listen, Jesus doesn't say, come to church, clean yourself up, and then I'll accept you. Here's what he says. You come to church dirty, you come to me dirty, and I will clean you up. And so maybe you're here today and you're struggling, man. You got maybe an addiction, you maybe got, you know, some issues. You know, you're maybe dealing with sin. Maybe you're just a jerk. Maybe, you know, you hate people. I don't know. I don't know what you're dealing with or what sin the devil has you entangled with. But here's the truth. Jesus Christ can heal you. He can forgive you. And he wants a personal relationship with each of us. And you say, well, my sin's too big. No, it's not. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. He can handle your sin. You say, well, how do I get that relationship? How do I come to know Christ personally? Here's the simple truth. He asks you to surrender your life to him. You say, well, what's that mean? It means that you acknowledge it with your mouth and you say, okay, Lord, and in your heart you say, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I know I'm a sinner. And I need you to forgive me of my sin so that I can live this life to honor you. The truth is, someday, the train of death is going to come. And my question to you is, where's that train going to take you? Is it going to train? Is it going to lead right into heaven and take you right into heaven, or is it going to lead you to hell? You say, "Bo, I don't believe in hell." Well, you will when you get there if you don't believe in it now. So here's the truth. Jesus Christ, he wants to forgive you. He wants you to have that personal relationship. And he says, all you got to do is ask. I will forgive you of your sin. I will come into your life. I'll give you a new start. I'll wipe the slate clean so that you can start a new trail that is one of peace, that is one of security, that is one of joy, that is one of happiness, and leads to eternity. And so maybe that's you, and you just need to say right in your heart, not out loud, you just maybe need to pray that prayer and say, Lord, come into my life. Come forgive me of my sins so that I can have that eternal life, so that I can experience that peace. Man, if you prayed that just now, or if you thought that in your heart and you meant it with your heart, here's the thing that we ask. All we want to do is know. We want to know that you made that decision. You can do it this way. You can grab one of those orange cards, fill it out, place it in one of these yellow buckets, and we will call you. We'll contact you. You don't have to come to the front. You don't have to be embarrassed in front of anybody. Again, that's a religious barrier that we've torn down. But if you make a decision today, sit there in your seat. When I get through praying, sit there in your seat, fill that card out, put it in a yellow bucket, and we will contact you. You say, but I don't want to do that. Well, here's another option. If you got a cell phone, you can text your name to the number that'll be on the screen and we'll contact you. It's that simple. You don't have to explain anything. Just text your name and we will call you back. That's all you got to do. You say, well, why do you want to know? Here's the truth. We want to walk along beside you. We want to ride this trail with you and help you be successful. Help you be holy. To help you to live a life that honors God. And so that's why we do that. It's not to pad the books. It's not to say, hey, we reached this many people. No, it's to say that we want to walk beside you. And we want to see you succeed at this walk with Christ. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. And we're going to be dismissed. If you've made a decision, please let us know. Lord, we come to you right now and I thank you. I thank you for the purpose that you've given us. I thank you for the cowboys that we've reached so far. For the people that maybe aren't cowboys that we've reached so far. And I thank you that you're going to continue to use us for your glory. And I pray that you would. Pray that you would bless our church. That you would show us where we need to go next and help us to lead others to you. Lord, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your provision. And we just give you all the glory. And we ask you to continue to bless this church. Lord, for those that maybe have made that decision today to accept you, to ask for forgiveness today, maybe for the first time, Lord, I pray that they would be bold, that they would be gutsy enough to tell somebody so that we can help them. We can give them the resources that they need to be a godly man or a godly woman. And so, Lord, we thank you. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you for being here.
Again, we want to thank you for listening to this message. And if you have questions, please contact us. We would love to visit with you. Again, Thousand Hills Ranch Church at yahoo.com, or you can contact us by phone, 580-216-6427. And may God bless the ride you're on.